Hello. Hi. I just want to take a second to introduce myself. My name is Courtney Rose, and I am from the Mayfair Community Church Corps, and I am so happy to be able to speak with you and be faithful in God's message. So tonight, we're going to be looking at the book of Luke, chapter 1, starting with verse 26. I'll give you some time to open up to that because we will be in the text quite a bit. So that's Luke chapter 1. I'll remind you of that in just a little bit. And as we open up our text, our scripture, will you also join me in prayer? God, we just pray tonight that you would be glorified, that we would be faithful and obedient to your word, and that this time would be an act of worship. Lord, we love you, and we pray that you would speak, and that as you speak, there would bring change to our lives and the world. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'd like to spend some time talking to you about one of my dearest friends tonight. I've known her my whole life, but it wasn't until about 10 years ago in college that our friendship really blossomed, and it was more like I knew about her rather than really knowing her, and I had people talk about her to me, and me thinking that I did really know her, but I didn't really have like a reciprocal relationship with my friend. But I remember a really specific moment in my life that relationship clicked into place. I was a religion student in my undergrad, and still continue to be. So I was taking church history classes and having a lot of theological conversations with my friends and learning about Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy in school and on my own. And I learned a lot about a lot of different traditions in Christianity. And as I did that, the more I was faced with the reality that there are some holes in my own tradition. And kind of dealing with that and figuring out what do I do with not having all of the answers, like my own tradition not answering all the questions that I had. And so I want to tell you about that specific moment when that friendship really clicked into place. It happened to me at Regeneration 2010, and we've talked about Regeneration tonight, but it's the Territorial Young Adult Retreat, and without getting into too many details, I had a very intense, crazy experience with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into my life very powerfully and changed my life forever. I was in a moment gifted with several very charismatic gifts, and it was very emotional, and it was very spiritually charged, and a lot of people gathered around me, and we were able to worship in a unique way as God poured his grace out on our lives and on, I think, the Salvation Army in that moment. And that experience lasted all night for me and actually continued for me for 3 days. I wasn't actually even able to go to classes because the Holy Spirit was so strongly on my life in that moment. And it was in the midst of those experiences that God spoke to me. And in my mind's eye, there were images of Mary, the mother of God, that came into my mind over and over again, flashing into my mind, appearing to me. And the images were like the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my entire life. I wept with joy and peace. And I knew that God was speaking to me and saying, "This is the mother of God. Isn't she beautiful? This is Mary. Honor the fact that she is the mother of God." And I can say that they were so beautiful. And I wept and I wept. And there was something about that experience that I can't really describe to you. Like, it's crazy. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense. But it was so real to me. And I know that God was speaking to me in that moment. And I know that that's not like a conventional story for those of us who are Protestants. Like, we don't really like to talk about Mary, and especially Salvationists, like, we don't have any context for that. But I wanted to share that story for you out of a place of real vulnerability, because it's so real, and it changed my life. And it not only, like, made me respect Mary more, but it helped me love God more, which is the point. God showing Mary to me pointed me back to Christ. And so it was an important experience for me. And I know that, like, this topic can be kind of scary for a lot of people who are Protestants or evangelicals or Salvationists. If you are not a Catholic or an Eastern Orthodox person, we kind of just freak out and are like, no, no, let's not think about or talk about Mary. But I don't think that that's really the right way to go about dealing with it. So tonight, I felt like I was led to talk to you about Mary, the Mother of God. I think it's really important. And God said, like, God saw that it was important enough for me that he intervened into my life in a powerful way to reveal it to me. And I can't deny that. So I want to share that with you. And I know that in this room, there's, like, a lot of varying degrees of relationship that you have with Mary. Some of you, like, your only relationship to Mary is the fact that, like, you were in a Christmas play and Mary was one of the characters. Or you hear this nativity story every year and you're like, yeah, Mary, she wears a blue sash. And she gave birth in a stable. Some of you come from Catholic backgrounds or cultures, and you have a little bit more complicated relationship with her. Like, some of you in your houses or your families, like, you might have Our Lady of Guadalupe candles in your house, or murals, or your uncle has her tattooed on his back. Some of you come from families that are coming out of Catholicism, and so, like, you're reacting very strongly, or maybe your pastor is reacting really strongly, or your parents are reacting really strongly, and you just don't really know what to do. And I really get that, and I respect that. It's hard. It's complicated. And I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. I'm not going to advocate that we worship Mary. And in fact, I would like it if people would stop saying that people worship Mary. I think that's kind of disrespectful. I think it means that you don't understand their culture or their tradition. Maybe some people do worship Mary, but a lot of people don't. They just venerate her. So tonight, what I want to talk to you about is recognizing our tradition's tendency to be kind of disrespectful towards Mary, the Mother of God. And in doing so, we miss out on some really cool things. One really cool scripture interpretation, because we just kind of gloss over her. Two, we miss out on having a really awesome role model. Mary's a great role model for men and women. And we miss out on a really powerful friend and advocate who has a really beautiful articulation of the mission of God. And specifically, I think that the story, life, and faithfulness of Mary, if taught more freely and boldly, would empower more young people and Christians of all ages to live better Christian lives of devotion, obedience, and of justice. So that's where I'm coming from in wanting to talk about this really, really beautiful friend of mine. So we're going to look at our scripture starting, again, in Luke chapter 26. And I know it's a lot of scripture, but it's really good. So it says, chapter 1. Did I say, what did I say? 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. Okay. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born. He will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who is said to have been barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your will, or according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. Verse 39. In those days, Mary set out and went in haste to the Judean town in the hill country. When she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is he or she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Verse 36. And Mary said, my soul magnifies in the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. All right, so you're probably familiar with that passage, right? Because it was just Christmas like a few weeks ago, actually like literally a week ago, if you're celebrating a liturgical calendar. So I'm hoping that some of those things are fresh in your mind. Like some of you have been thinking about baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph for a while, for the last few weeks, which is great. And we're going to begin by looking at Mary's annunciation, the announcement that she is pregnant, which is a really big deal. And I've been thinking a lot about it because I obviously also am with child. I want to just point out some really lovely things that take place in this part of the story. So bear with me. I'm a teacher, and I'm going to have to give you a lot of detail because it's the only way I know how to get through the scripture. So I first want to point out to you that Mary is a virgin, right? We all understand what that means. If you don't, you can ask your parents. And she is considered one of the lowest class people in all of society. I want you to think about that. She is considered one of the lowest class people in all of her society. So let me break that down for you. One, she's really poor. Two, she is a female. She doesn't have any rights outside of her father and her husband. Three, she's really young. She's like borderline child into adulthood. And children don't really have rights either. She is unmarried, engaged but unmarried. So no rights there. She also, and this is kind of a weird one, but stick with me, she's barren. Now, not that she's physically incapable of having a child like we see that she does, but like she hasn't gone through the process that would allow her to have a child, right? So there is a sense of barrenness in there, okay? And that's important too, because if you do not have children, and if you are a woman, you have no worth in society, according to how the culture was at this time. She also is Middle Eastern. She also lives in a colonized country. Do you understand what I mean by that? That there was an empire that came in and took over her country. And that is a problematic thing. All right, so Mary is the culmination. She is the perfect recipe of oppression. There is no place lower for her to go in society. She's at the bottom of the barrel. And then we see that she has no rights of her own. She is a victim of the patriarchy. She's a victim of the Roman Empire. She's a victim of poverty. She's got things stacked on top of her, on top of her, on top of her. And then what does this angel say to her? Greetings, favored one. I really like you. That's what God says to you. I really like you. There's nothing about her that the world would find favor in, but God truly delighted in her, in her situation, in her personhood. She is God's favored person. And then the angel says what? The Lord is with you. The world might not be with you, but the Lord is with you. What a great place to start. He's got nothing but God. I want to just mention to you that Mary is really in great company. There's a few other people in the scripture that God finds favor in, specifically Noah, Moses, Gideon, Samuel, and Jesus. That's it. Those are the people that God finds favor in the scripture. And then there's Mary. Notice that she's the only woman. All right? So the text continues on. We see this interaction between her and the angel. And Gabriel tells her what is going to happen, right? That, like, she could be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And this child that she's going to carry in her womb is going to become the Son of God, or is the Son of God. And look at how she responds there in the text. She doesn't question the angel's word. She ponders how it actually is going to happen, which is very interesting. She says, essentially, not like responding in doubt. She responds in, logistically, how is this going to take place? It's not that I doubt you, God. It's just that I don't really understand, because she understands how you get pregnant, okay? And so she says, since I'm a virgin, I don't physically understand, like, what's going to happen. And God explains it to her through this angel, which is fascinating, because there's been other people in the scripture that God has said similar things to. Like, there's a lot of barren women in the scripture, and a lot of them question God, and they're like, are you sure that I'm going to have a baby? How can this be? Specifically, do you remember Sarah and Abraham? They both laugh at God. And then a couple of verses before this, God shows up to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, and God's like, you're going to have a baby. And Zechariah doesn't believe him. And so Zechariah can't talk for the next 9 months. But Mary doesn't do that. She's like, okay, I don't understand, but okay. It's very interesting. And God answers her questions. She isn't really left hanging. The whole situation eventually gets explained. Which brings us to another observation. Look at verse 38. It says, after she has been explained the situation, she says, okay, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be done with me according to your word. Here am I. Let it be done to me according to your word. I really like that. It's such a good response to God. And here Mary is presented with the greatest honor of all history. She gets to be the bearer, the mother of God. And God is allowing her to decide yes or no. Pay attention to that. Yes or no. My friends, God does not force anything upon us. God gives us the opportunity to choose, to decide. Now, sometimes there's circumstances that take place in our lives, but we are given the decision of how we are going to respond to God. God does not force Mary into anything, does he? He says, this can happen to you. And she says, I agree. Yes. Let the Holy Spirit come, essentially. So here's my first major point. In Mary's agreement, her decision to say yes to God, her agreement to carry and raise the Son of God, she is the first person in the entire world, in all of creation, to acknowledge and agree to the fact that that child is the salvation of the world, which is an important detail, an important nuance. Mary knows who this child is, right? The angel says that. This is the Son of God. And she says, yes, I'm going to be the mother of that child. And that yes brings salvation into the world. In fact, some people call Mary the first saved of all of creation. She was the first to acknowledge that Jesus was the Savior. She was the first to accept that fact. And that Savior of the world and the salvation of the world didn't just begin and end on the cross. It began in the moment she said yes to God. And that baby went inside of her as the Holy Spirit came upon her. Salvation began in the incarnation of Christ inside of her and culminated in the death and resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which is so powerful. In this time, it would have been quite unheard of for a woman to make such a life-altering decision, right? As I mentioned, she's like at the lowest of the low. She has no rights. And normally, to make such a big decision, your husband would make the decision, or your brother, or your dad, or the king. And here, God says, I want you to make the decision, Mary. He gives her autonomy and choice. There's nothing forced upon her. And that freedom fully allows for the salvation of mankind and the world to take place into the world. I'm going to say one more thing about Mary's Annunciation. Mary is not simply called to be a womb, right? Like, I have a baby inside of me. Am I done being a mom once I birth this baby? No, I've got a long road ahead of me for the rest of my life. Mary is not called to just be a womb, be a surrogate. God calls her to be a mom, which is a really powerful thing too, that we kind of forget about. And he calls out this very specific young woman, recognizing that there is something about her that makes her the appropriate mother of Jesus. I don't know what Jesus was like as a baby or a teenager or a young adult, but I do know that God gave him a mother to help him and to come into his own as a person. Mary was there pushing him, praying for him, teaching him the law and teaching him about God and helping him blossom into the Messiah. And I'm sure you might remember that Mary actually, Jesus' mother, is the first to push Jesus into public ministry. Remember the miracle at Cana? Jesus' mom was like, we need you to turn this water into wine. You got to step up right now. Now is the time. So that mom pushed him into that place. Maybe you can relate to that. You got moms that push you into doing the right thing sometimes. And so I just want to remind you that Mary is the mother of God. She is not just the womb of Jesus. And we reserve a really specific title for her called Theotokos. Theotokos. It's Greek and it means the God bearer. It's the right word. And she's not just Mary, or Mary is not just Jesus' birther. She is his mom for his whole life and sticks with him to the end. Remember that she is even there when he dies. She is there at Pentecost. She is there through it all. She is also described to be the first disciple of Christ. Okay, so let me go to the second point here. In the text here, we see that Mary is a really great example of preparedness. She's ready. You'll notice that the angel doesn't come to Mary and give her a few days to make the decision, does he? He's like, okay, Mary, God wants you to have a baby. What are you going to do? Mary hears the details from the angel. She works out what it would mean for her. She knows it's going to be hard, but she responds yes, immediately, to the calling of God. And we've seen that she is obedient to God's salvation, but there's a lot of things that are taking place in this text. One, Mary is a very informed individual, which I really like about her. She's informed. So, we know that Mary was a Jewish person. She grew up as a Jew, and Jews are well known for preserving their identity, for teaching their faith. They would intentionally teach all of their children, not just the boys, but also the girls, the nuances of their life, the law, and their faith, and how they're supposed to worship God. And so when the angel comes to Mary and explains what is going to happen, Mary agrees because she's been prepared. She already knows what the ramifications of what the angel is saying means for her life. All right? And she knows who this child is that is going to be born from her. She puts the pieces together. Now we know, maybe you've heard this before, that Mary was supposed to be a very young person. She was probably between the ages of 13 and 15. How many of you are within that age group? Okay, so between 13 and 15, probably. We don't know exactly. Which sounds crazy to us that you would have a baby at that age, and I'm not advocating that you do that. But that was appropriate for that time. Once a girl was able to bear children, she would get married or engaged off, because that was her job in society, was to have babies. But look, even in her young age, we see her making the most important decision of her entire life. Can you imagine that? Making the most important decision you will ever make at 13. And there's no turning back from it. Her young age was not a hindrance to her. She chooses to be obedient. And her obedience at 13 changes my life as well. Changed your life. And you can make those same important decisions. Mary was probably raised in the same type of education as her peers. She would have grown up learning the scripture and memorizing scripture. She would have learned the laws and how the Jews were supposed to worship God. She would have been aware that there was a coming Messiah who would change the world and restore the Davidic covenant of the past. And knowing all of those things, all of that training, all of her schooling, her entire life led her up to this moment where she could say yes to God and make the right decision confidently and quickly. And it's true that Mary had to be equipped for the rest of her life. Like, she wasn't just completely ready at 13 to know everything she needed to know. God continued to teach her things throughout her life, but she was equipped enough at 13 to make the right decision and say yes to God in moments when it really mattered. And in her situation, preparedness meant she understood God, she understood the scripture, and she understood God's promises to his people. Okay? So, that brings me to my next point. Mary is a prophet of justice. Maybe one of my favorite parts of Mary. Let me remind you of a few things that are going on here. When the angel comes to Mary, things are pretty hard in the country that she lives in. Israel's not a very pleasant place to be. As I mentioned, lives in a colonized country, and that is a confusing thing for her and her people, because in the past, God had been really intentional with a guy named Abraham. He called Abraham out and said, Abraham, I want to give you this very specific plot of land, and I want you to live there, and it's going to be wonderful, and I want you to be faithful to me, and I'm going to give you a ton of descendants. Just be faithful to me, and I will be faithful to you. And then from those people, from those descendants, God enters into more covenants with them. Specifically, this covenant called the Covenant of Mount Sinai, where the law is given to the people. And we see that lots of things happen. We have all these descendants. They go into Egypt and in slavery. They enter into this covenant with God. And in this covenant, God says to them, I will take care of you. All of you people, I will take care of you. Just be faithful to me. Just uphold the law. And part of the law, an important part of the law, has to do with how you treat other people, how you live out justice to individuals. So specifically, God says in this covenant, you guys, Israelites, you must be taking care of the poor. You have to take care of the widow. You have to take care of the orphan, the immigrant, the children, the overlooked, the animals. You are supposed to walk humbly and obediently. You're supposed to stand out from among the nations, acting differently. You're supposed to treat people differently, worship God differently. And we see that the Israelites kind of do that, but eventually really fail. And so there's consequences that come upon them, and they go into exile, and then eventually are taken over by different empires over and over and over again. And this promise that they had, that the land would be theirs, is kind of taken away from them, which is where we find Mary. She lives in a nation that for hundreds of years has been passed back and forth between nations, from empire to empire. And she sees her fellow Jewish people treated horribly simply because they're Jewish and because they live there. And they're not the dominant colonizing people. We see that her people are taxed outrageously. They have strict and unfair laws imposed by the people. But Mary knows that it doesn't have to be this way, and that there will be a time that it will no longer be this way, because she knows and she remembers this thing called the Davidic covenant, one of the other covenants that God enters into with his people, where God promises David that there will always be somebody who rules from Jerusalem and that the favor of God is going to be upon that king. And Mary knew that God would be faithful and provide a leader to eventually take back the kingdom and rule in fairness and equity, and that the problems that the people were having eventually would disappear because God would provide this king, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And so she knows this, and this is in the back of her mind. This king would be the Messiah, the anointed king who would flip the reality of the world upside down and usher in a new reality of justice and mercy. So when Mary greets her cousin, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says that the baby in her womb, because she's also pregnant, leaps with joy, Elizabeth calls Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and blessed is he or she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Mary and Elizabeth both recognize that Jesus, that baby inside of her, is that king. And that this time of struggling, this time of colonization, this time of taxation, this time of so much oppression can be over. Because there is a king inside of her that is about to change everything. And they accept that this baby is the Messiah. Now, after that, look into the next part of your scripture in verse 46. Mary sings a song. Very interesting. The book of Luke has several songs in it. Now, I don't know if this is like a musical and Mary just like starts singing immediately after this takes place. I wasn't there. A lot of people think that Mary may not have actually even written this song. This song may just have been like a popular Jewish song of the time that actually fit everything that Mary needed to say. But what we can notice here is that even though these words might not necessarily be Mary's, she means everything that she says. They contain her sentiments. Starting in verse 46. Look at verse 46. It begins with Mary saying, my soul magnifies, or my soul glorifies, right? And this little bit of information already shows us that Mary is all in. To say that your soul is a part of what you're doing is to say that your entire existence is into what's happening. It's not just her body. She didn't just like throw her pregnant body into the situation. It's not just her mind. It's not just her soul, like her spirit. It is everything about her that she is throwing into the reality that she is praising God. Can you imagine what it would be like to praise God with everything that you are? The second thing to know is that Mary is worshiping God, but she doesn't call God God, does she? Look at what she calls him. She calls him Lord and Savior, which are very specific words. And normally, at this time, you would reserve the word Lord and Savior for somebody else, specifically Caesar, the Roman Emperor. And here she is calling the God of Israel her Lord and her Savior. She is not putting stock in the government and that leadership. She says, there's something else. I have a God who is truly the Lord. I have a God who is truly the Savior. And then we see, how does God, the Lord, the Savior, not the Caesar, save? It says he saves by delivering and extending mercy. And I want to remind you, I know that makes sense to us because we're Christians and we talk about save, like mercy and deliverance frequently, but this is life-altering, that the Lord and Savior delivers through mercy and humility. It's amazing. The rest of the passage continues on. If you look at her song that she sings, she expresses exactly how God is going to save through justice and mercy, specifically through role reversals. Role reversals. Mary herself, the lowest in society, she calls herself a lowly handmaiden, a servant. But then she is quick to say, though I am a lowly hand servant, the Lord has raised me up. I was once down here, but he's brought me up here. And by Mary calling herself a maidservant and being exalted up, she actually becomes a representative for the whole world. She's like, if this can happen to me, imagine what can happen to you. If he can take the lowest of the low and bring them up high, what is he going to do for everybody else? All who are low can be exalted through Christ. All who are oppressed can one be liberated. All who are powerless can be given positions of power. And Mary, as the first saved of all creation, prophesies of the salvific work of Christ that will take place in all of the world for all people, specifically in the fact that God, who is high, rule reverses and brings himself low. He becomes a man, and he extends mercy to all, but grants power to those who are once powerless. In fact, God will actively tear down the places of power to reorder the world to be in line with his plan of salvation. It's amazing what God is doing here. It's amazing what Mary is able to see, that she gets it. She understands what this Jesus coming into the world is really going to be for everybody. And so what do we do with all of what I've just said? What do we do with it? First, we've seen that Mary is a particularly obedient person, and a person chosen by God for a very specific moment in time. And a lot of times, we talk about Mary as if any young person could have been picked out of by God to be the mother of God. But I don't necessarily think that's true. Because here's the thing. I am not the mother of God. I was not chosen. You were not chosen. None of us in this room were chosen. But Mary was. And there's something that I think we need to honor about that. That she was the right person for the job. Mary was a great disciple, and I strive to be more like her every day, but the fact of the matter is that she just wasn't a random person. She was chosen among all people in history for this task, to be the mother of God, to birthing and raising Jesus Christ. She also is called favored and blessed by God. Now, I think that God really likes me and loves me, and I think he really likes you and loves you too. But there's really specific language for what Mary is called here. There's something special about her. And I know it's hard for those of us who don't know what to do with Mary because of our backgrounds and our traditions, but I think we're doing ourselves a disservice by not really giving Mary the proper honoring. Again, not worshiping her, but just recognizing there's something different about that lady. We are really quick to honor Moses and the apostles and other people, but we really gloss over Mary because we're afraid of her. And to be honest, I'm wondering if that's not just a little bit sexist. You can think about that on your own. But let today be a day where we recognize the intentionality that God called this woman out of all of creation for this one specific task. I've shared my story of God intervening into my life and calling me out for not honoring the mother of God. And it's okay if you disregard that and if you think I'm crazy. Like, I'm fine with that. But let me remind you that there are millions, if not billions, of people in the world who do and have honored this woman. Miracles through Christ have happened and occurred throughout history through, like, because of her story. Countries and regions have been converted to Christianity and faithfulness to Christ because of her appearance. Specifically, if you know the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And there's something about that that I have a hard time denying. And I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to resolve it completely. If you were to come up to me and ask me, like, what do exactly I do with Mary? I'm not exactly sure I can give you a good answer. But I'm on a journey trying to figure it out and trying to reconcile it. And I'm kind of asking that you start that journey as well. I don't know what all the answers are, but I'm trying to work forward with it. And I want you to encourage you to examine your relationship with this woman, whatever that looks like. She is a great saint. She is the Theotokos. And ask God what you would like, or what God would like you to do with your relationship with her. Maybe you don't need to move it forward. Maybe you need to just acknowledge her as a faithful person. Maybe you need to not skim over her when she comes up in the text. Maybe you need to highlight her a little bit more at Christmas time. But I'm asking you to ask God what you should do with it. Second thing, we've also seen that Mary chooses to say yes to God. God has been speaking to some of you for a long time about a lot of different things. And tonight might be the time that God has laid the choices out before you. And tonight might be the time for you to respond. Mary responded like that. Don't wait any longer to respond to God. If he's been talking to you, answer. And I hope you answer yes. But take the time to answer God. Look at Mary's yes. Look at what it did for the world. It changed everything. It changed the course of history. It helped bring salvation into the world. So say yes to God. Whatever the thing is that God has been speaking to you about, now is the time for you to respond and deal with it. You know what it is. Respond. Third thing. Mary was an informed person, right? I said that. Young people in this room, listen to me. You are without excuse. Mary was 13. You can make the same type of decisions. You can change your life by responding to God. You can change the world by responding to God properly. Mary was poor. She was uneducated. She was from a colonized country. She was a minority, and she was able to do what God asked her to do. You can do it too. Mary was rooted in the scripture. She knew the will of God for the world, and she chose to participate. 13, she knew the will of God. you can know the will of God too. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world right now. If you're unaware of it, that's very confusing to me, because all you have to do is go on the internet for a minute and look at the news, right? I'm asking you to engage in the world. Don't hide and think because you're young, you don't have to worry about this stuff. It's your problem too. And you're going to have to deal with it in a couple of years when you become adults. And so the first step in engaging that is you must know God. Mary was able to make those decisions and take the proper steps because she was in line with the Spirit of God. She already knew God and responded to him. You are never to be too young to be in line with the Spirit of God. Never. You can be a baby and in line with the Spirit of God. Be in step with the Spirit of God. Choose to be obedient to him. And all of you in this room need to know the Word of God. You must study the Scripture. There is no excuse. Can you read? Read your Bible. If you can't read, turn on your phone and it'll read it to you. There's no excuse. So many people miss out in participating in the salvation of the world simply because they do not know God. They do not know his word. They do not know his gospel. They do not know his scripture. Know those things. Participate in those things and respond. Say yes to God. And Mary also knew what was going on around her. She was aware of the world and the state of her country, and she reacted. Young people, start engaging in real things that matter. There is so much stuff that doesn't matter. Cut it out and start paying attention to the stuff that matters to God. You can do it. You are so capable. You are so smart. You are so educated. You can do it. All right? Take your face away from the things on your phone that don't encourage you and start paying attention to the things that really matter. At 13, Mary changed the world through her obedience. God can use you too. You just have to put yourself in a position to say yes to God, that you can hear the calling of God in your life and you can respond positively to that. Finally, we see that Mary is a prophet of justice. Again, I've mentioned we've got a lot of issues in our world, not just in America, everywhere. There's a lot of problems, and there have been a lot of problems forever. It's not just in the last few months. There have been massive problems for a long time. And it's frankly very overwhelming, right? Like, it's scary because it feels like, what am I supposed to do? There's so many things. What do I choose? My desire for you is that you understand what justice means to God. Forget about what Twitter says about justice. Forget about what Barack Obama says about justice, or Lena Dunham, or Shaun White. Start learning what real justice is. Mary testifies that justice comes from God. It is embodied in Jesus Christ, and it flips the world's standards of reality. A poor servant girl is able to become the mother of God. Mercy will be given to the humble. The oppressed will be liberated. Also, justice is a reality that is happening and will ultimately have victory. But I ask you, know what justice means to God. The world will tell you what a lot of different types of justice are. But know what the scripture says about justice. Know what Christ exemplified as justice. Understand those things and live them out. Because that's where real change will take place, when we are in line with the Spirit of God. One of Mary's reactions to realizing that she is carrying the Son of God in the world is to speak about justice for all people. And in so doing, we see even her speaking out and being subversive to the government. And she does all of these things because she understands God and how he is working in the world. Her focus is on God and what God says about things. Mary is properly rebellious at certain moments, and the gospel of Jesus is a rebellious thing. And I wonder if you are participating in proper rebellion like Mary did. I'm wondering if you are being a fighter of justice like Mary was. I'm wondering if you are fighting for God's definition of justice where mercy and humility prevail. So, I've given you a lot of things to think about. We've covered a lot of ground. And I want you to choose these four things. One of these four things I want you to think about. I will tell you what they are. And I want you to spend some time in this space. I mean, you can think about multiple things or think about whatever God is speaking to you. But spend some time in your seat praying about one of these four things and responding to God and his leading in your life. The first one is this. Mary was an obedient person, specifically called by God to be the mother of God. Why don't you spend some time asking God what he wants your relationship with Mary to be like? Ask God what your relationship with Mary should be like. Maybe you don't have one. Maybe you need to form one. Maybe you've got some really mixed up things going on with your culture and your background. Pray about that. And maybe God's answer to you will be very different from what I have been speaking to you today. But respond to it. Be obedient to what God is speaking to you. The second thing is that Mary said yes to God. I want you to spend some time thinking about what has been God been laying out for you. Again, as I mentioned, some of you have been called for something, or God has been speaking to you about something, and you have not been dealing with it. Take the time tonight to deal with it. Say yes or say no, but respond to God. Don't put it back. Don't neglect it anymore. Take the time tonight to deal with the things that God has been speaking to you about. The third thing is Mary was a really informed young person, right? Pray and ask God to help you know God. If you don't know God, ask him. Ask God to help you know his word, his gospel, his scriptures. Ask God's help in engaging with things of substance and matter in the kingdom of God. And the fourth one that you could think about, if you'd like, Mary is a prophet of justice. Pray that you understand God's definition of justice for the world. Pray that you would be properly rebellious and courageous like Mary was. Ask God to give you passion for humility and mercy and justice. So those are the four things. Your relationship with Mary, saying yes and responding to God, being an informed young person, or being a prophet of justice. How are you going to live justice out? Take some time right now to pray, to think through, and ask God to speak to you about that. There's always an open place here if you would like to come and pray, if you would like to bring a youth leader or talk to somebody about some of these things. You are open to do that, but I'm asking you now to take some time to be intentional to speaking to God and hearing what he might be saying to you.